We're in lesson 45 in the book of Daniel, and we just started chapter 8, and we're moving right along. It's taken us almost a year, plus some odd days. You realize that, don't you? No. Oh, yeah. We've been in the book of Daniel that long, and there's only 12 chapters, and 12 is relating to who?
Israel.
The nation Israel. That's something you really need to think about. So we're beginning the book of chapter 8. And this chapter is at the point where the book of Daniel goes back to the Hebrew language. Now, Daniel's written in three different languages, remember? Chaldean, Aramaic, and what? Hebrew. And from chapter 2 to verse 4, all the way over to chapter 7, verse 28, it is written in the language of the Gentile commerce of the day, the Chaldean language. So, who was in charge during when Daniel got into captivity?
Nebuchadnezzar,
and he was king over the whole world at that time. So his language and his commerce was going out where everybody can speak it, much like the English language today. English language is known as what? The universal language. So people can understand it. Now, they may pretend that they don't understand it or speak it, but it is a universal language. But now it goes back to Hebrew, and it has to do with the fact that what's going on to instruct the crucial importance of the Jews in the tribulation period. Now, I'm going to close this timeline up for a second or two, because the issue here, when we look at the timeline, this is the timeline in your prophetic scriptures, in your Bible. Your Bible's laid out as a timeline. So the top line is the nation Israel, the true nation Israel. We know in times past, Israel was God's favorite nation, people. There was no other nations in the world that was that knew God, the way God the Creator was set up. But also, we also know they fornicated with other gods and religions. And there's another religion out there of Israel. Down here on this bottom half is the Gentile nations. That's what nations, Gentiles means. Let me back up a little bit. Is nations. So you either was a Jew or you was a
Gentile.
Okay? You either were circumcised or uncircumcised. So Daniel's way back here, he's looking at this time period over here in the tribulation period. Now, chapter 7 and 8 are visions. And chapters 9, 10, 11, and the first part of chapters are a unit. So when we look at all this, and they're interrelated. Now, if you recall, back in chapter 7, we already seen that they would expect a severe disturbance, wouldn't they, politically, around the Mediterranean area, in which four kingdoms are going to emerge out of. Not the United States, not Russia, not the United Kingdom, that type of thing, but the Mediterranean area. And that fourth kingdom is going to match the feet and toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image. You remember what it was, the head and the breasts and all that stuff? And the other three beasts, the other three kingdoms, are going to border that Mediterranean Sea. We also talked about when the Bible talks about the Great Sea, that's what it's referring to. Now, what we learn is that we're looking back at the tribulation and looking at what to expect. And you have four, we're going to look at four kingdoms that will arise on the border of the Mediterranean. You remember back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 2, when Daniel talks about the four winds of heaven stove up on the Great Sea. And we know what the Great Sea is, the Mediterranean. That fourth kingdom is the Antichrist kingdom. And that kingdom's out of which the Antichrist comes. Now, you can turn your TV on about 9 times out of 10, they're studying prophetic stuff, and they're telling you, you know, you're in the times this, and, you know, Satan's can pop up at any time, and Antichrist is just around the corner. Well, you know that not to be true. There's a lot of things has to take place in the Word of God, if you believe the Word of God, takes place long before that Antichrist pops up there. He just can't pop up today, because where's the 10 kingdoms at? Where's the four kingdoms that Daniel's talking about right now? You can spiritualize it, that type of thing, but it's not where we are in the Word of God. You're in a dispensation of grace today. Okay? That's totally different. You cannot find that anywhere in the Bible other than Paul the Apostle. Now, He plucks up three of them and subdues all ten of them and takes over the kingdom. Later on, the supernatural, superhuman appearance he represents in Revelation chapter 13 and Hosea chapter 13, we saw that. And other passages, and he's going to be the master of all four of those beasts. So you have ten kingdoms, and then he subdues three of those, and then he pops up in there. He is one that speaks great words that we saw in Daniel chapter 7. And he reigns with the beast. So there's tremendous amount of detail in chapter 7 about the rise of the Antichrist. That we looked at that. You remember? Mm-hmm. You took a little test last week, didn't you?
It was hard.
It was very hard. I agree. But when you come to chapter 8, you're going to begin to get the details about the identity of the Antichrist. Now we're going to find out some things. You don't have to speculate who he is. No, he's not any of our presidents in the past. No, it's not William T. Sherman. You know, that type of thing. It's not Adolf Hitler. You know, as many as the horrible things that they've done, you know, it's still not that. But you can see why people point to those people, right? There was destruction. You're going to turn from his rise and focus on the system of truth and revelation that will allow the Jew, the believing Jew in the tribulation, to identify that Antichrist. And when he shows up. Somebody out there? No? Okay. And that is going to be able to say, this guy is the Antichrist. See, you and your believing heart and soul and spirit can identify some things right now in the Word of God. You can identify who's with you in the right division, can't you? You can identify who believes the same thing you believe. You know, but you don't turn around and call them Antichrist. You know, you might call them heathen, that type of thing. But you know what I'm saying. You can identify some things. Daniel chapter 8 is a subsistical passage in chapter 11 are especially designed to show the people how to identify who he is. Now, who's the people here in Daniel?
The nation
is. The nation is. What is Daniel? Where's Daniel at during this time?
Captivity.
Is he a young man or old man at this time?
Medium.
Medium or?
Probably old.
He's old. Yeah, he's been there for 70 years. And so you'll see in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel sees the kingdom of Media Persia arise. Then he sees the Greek Empire identified. Now, the Greek Empire has four sections to it. And one of those four-fold division issues forth the Antichrist. And he comes out of those divisions of that Greek Empire. Now, what you have here in the passage is that you begin to have the ability to identify who the guy is and where he comes from. And that's the key to understanding what Daniel is doing here, so they can understand the Israelites over here in tribulation. They can understand who the Antichrist is. Listen, you have a completed Word of God today. God is not speaking outside of His Word. I don't care what these preachers say back there and all that stuff. You know, they may have had a bad pepperoni pizza the night before, and you know, that type of thing. God has written a book, and you have the complete inherent Word of God. You don't have to speculate what he's saying. It's there. So in times past, Genesis through Malachi, and even the first part of Acts, to Acts chapter 8, God is dealing primarily with the nation Israel. Then you have the body of Christ that's identified through Romans through Philemon, okay? And that is written to the body of Christ. You don't have to speculate what God's doing today. And all this in times past and ages to come, that's on hold. But when we're taken out of here, are they still going to be a complete Bible on this earth?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay? And I can guarantee you this, because I see it happen today, that when we're taken out of here, there's people going to fall for, we're in a dispensation of grace. You're going to have to believe what Paul teaches you. Isn't this true today that when they ignore what Paul teaches and tell you have to follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You see what I'm saying? You can't follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The people of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John couldn't follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what makes you think you can do that? You can't. You'll fail miserably. That's why God's grace, He's done it all for us. Amen? Amen. So, but in ages to come, after we're taken out of here, there are going to be Hebrews through Revelation. How many epistles is that? Thank you.
13?
Thank you. How many?
13.
How many's in Paul's epistles?
13.
Isn't that something? We have 13 epistles to look at and read and to study. They're going to have that many. See? But they're going to take Hebrews to Revelation and realize we're right here where we need to be in God's Word. This is the Antichrist. Hebrews is a book of doctrine for who? The body of Christ?
No.
No. Who?
Hebrews.
Okay, that tells you right there it's not for us. But anyway, you can spiritualize all that stuff if you want to. We talked about that earlier. But look, what you have here in the passage, identify that. So what you're going to see first is Media-Persia Empire, which follows Babylon. Then the Greek Empire, which is divided into four sections. Now, about 20 years after Alexander the Great, many of you might have had that in your history book, who Alexander the Great was. His empire was divided among four chief generals when he died. He died a young man. He died like 32, 33 yeah. years old. And one of those divisions, one of those nations, which will outgrow of that, becomes a kingdom of which the Antichrist shows up through. And then he begins to tell great detail about the Antichrist and what he's going to look at and how he shows up. Now, Daniel chapter 8, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. Now, if you notice that this vision comes in what year?
Third
year of the reign. In Daniel chapter 1, it was the first year of the reign. So he has a vision in chapter 7. And then 2 years later, he has gets another vision. So there's a time difference there. Just not boom, boom, vision, vision. Verse 2, and I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at, was it Shushan? In the palace, which is the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was at, by the river of what? Uliah? Mm-hmm. You notice here that Daniel is not where? What's the capital city?
Babylon.
He's not there. He's off in Shushan in the province. You know, could it be a summer palace somewhere? You know, he's up in his years. Daniel was a well-to-do guy for an Israelite. He was a well-to-do guy in that Gentile kingdom. And we've seen what he's done and stuff. But at this point, Daniel is an elderly man. He's up in his 80s. So he could be retired off in that place, couldn't he? Said, Daniel, you just go on. You did a great job. But you know where he's wanting to go. You know where his homeland is, don't you? Mm-hmm. Jerusalem. And then the verse is interesting. In regard, have you ever wondered where he was in Daniel chapter 3? Remember the three Hebrew guys that didn't bow down and didn't get bent, didn't get burned? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a responsibility to the Word of God on standing on their own. You know, I've said this, and you probably heard it say it then. If you die today and you stood in front of God Almighty, you're not going to be able to say what Ed told me. You with me? You're going to stand on your own 2 feet in the Word of God. That's why it says, rightly divide, study to show thyself approved
unto God.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not truth from error, guys. It's truth from truth. The whole Bible's truth. So you yourself are going to have to stand in front of God Almighty and give an account for yourself what you did with this doctrine. Now, God shows that they just didn't stand in Daniel's shadow, did they? You know, I'm standing in because he's... You stand because it's right, and you good and all. So people say, where was Daniel? Well, he wasn't in a territory where that was going on at that time. And he was, off traveling or doing other things. But he didn't always stay in that court of Babylon, by the way. So a good answer where Daniel was, and we looked at already, is that he was out. He's out in another palace area with me. He didn't have to stay right there. Chapter 8, verse 3. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before a river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither there was any that could deliver out of his hands, but he did according to his will and became what? Great. Now, if you go down to verse 20, you'll see the identity of this ram. Chapter 8, verse 20. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of what? So that's what that ram is. Now, who comes after Babylon?
Media and Persia.
Then when Daniel sees this ram with two horns, the two horns of Media and Persia. Now, one of them gets bigger than the other, and that is the king of who? Persia. You remember we studied that already. Persia gets bigger, and Persia becomes the dominant of the two kingdoms. And that one kingdom becomes two parts. So the ram in the passage is Media Persia. Chapter 8, verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, as he goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. Is that right, choler? Against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. You see that word collar? What is it? Choler. You know what that means?
Hatred.
There you go. Anger. And Webster 1828 says it's bile. By the subabundance of this fluid, anger was formerly supposed to be produced, and perhaps the opinion was that the bile caused the inflamed appearance of his face in anger. So when that goat thing was coming out, he had such rage and anger, probably scared the people to death, right? You ever see that? You ever played sports and somebody come at you like, ugh! You know, in the military you got a war face, right? You know, where's your war face? Ugh! That type of thing. That it's anger. But most people don't always know what that means. And it is a word that people use today. You probably just haven't heard as much. Verse 7. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with the collar against him, and smote the ram, brake his two horns, and there was no power of the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and then there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. The he-goat that he was referring to explained in verse 21 of the same chapter. And the rough goat is the king of who? Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Who is the first king of Greece? If you know your history. Let's do some history lessons today. I'm sorry, we have to. Because we got to differentiate between Daniel's talking about history and what's going to be future. See, that's what you got to realize. A lot of stuff that's happened, people say, well, this happened to this guy. But the first king of Greece is who?
Alexander
the Great. And you get the vision, and then quickly you get the interpretation. The ram is Media-Persia, and the he-goat comes along and rams into him and just breaks him and destroys him. And that he-goat is Greece. Now, Media-Persia, as you know, comes up after Babylon. And by the way, when Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel goes into captivity, and we start with Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, what is that also known as in the Bible? The times of the Gentiles. That is when Israel is no longer a prominent nation politically. With me? Spiritually, they're you'd still be spiritual, but politically, Israel had fallen. And has that changed today? You're still in the times of the Gentiles, people. That does not change until the time we're talking about over here. That's why there's Gentile nations out there. And that's why there's world powers out there. But remember in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar was identified as the first king, the head of gold. In chapter 8, Daniel is identifying the next kingdom that comes up, and that is Media-Persia. And that would be the chest and the arms of the image, if you remember the image. Then a kingdom follows that is Greece. And Daniel is getting revelation in the book to identify the parts of the image in chapter 2, and we already been over that. But the he-goat, the rough goat, is Greece. Verse 8. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and it came up to four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. The four notable ones can be noted in Daniel, verse 22. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. All this stuff is laying out Daniel, and it's boom, boom, boom. It's awesome the way God does this. In other words, the four kings show up after the great horn, Alexander the Great, dies. And, you know, we talked about a few minutes ago, he died of a fever. History repeats at around 33 years old, if you will. And he got as far, you know how far his kingdom got? Y'all know that much?
India.
Yeah. He got out towards India. And it got territories, Greece, from Greece to eastern regions of India. And he was a tremendous conqueror. You know, Hollywood makes a lot of movies on that, don't they? But Alexander the Great, he went out and conquered the whole world. And if you look at the map, Greece through Asia, Media-Persia, and on to India. And he dies around 323 B.C., after the battle of Ipsus. Ipsus? Sounds good to me. And that's when his kingdom's divided up in four kingdoms. And they're divided up in four kingdoms and four sections, I should say. The first area is Macedonian Greece, went to the man named Cassander. I'm giving you a little history here in case, you know, you forgot. And he married Alexander's half-sister. That's why he got that area right there. And then there's a man named Lysimachus. He took Asia Minor. And someone gets that in Asia. And another one took Syria. And then Polythia took Egypt. Now, I'm not good on these names, but I appreciate you loving me just the same. But that is what Daniel chapter 22 is talking about, all those sections. Now, Alexander just didn't give them up, did he? What happened to him?
He got taken.
Yeah, he died. So he dies, and then the man breaks them up and divides them up. And when you get down to this point, it is talking about history. If you want to look it up on your maps and stuff, you can. And what we have talking about the things that come to pass after Daniel's timeline. Media Persia appears and takes over the Babylon Empire. Then Greece comes under Alexander the Great. And then it's broken down. Verse 9 of Daniel. Notice some things. When you get to verse 9, he's going to skip the history from the past, from where we are today, to the history of the future. Daniel is. In other words, we're going to skip the ancient history of future to future history under the Antichrist tribulation period over here. By the way, when the Bible talks about 70 weeks will be determined unto my people. Who is my people in the Bible at the point? Israel. That should be a key verse saying, whoa, wait a minute. Why is people telling me I'm going to a tribulation period? Why is people say I'm going to end in this period? You're not. Paul talks about you're saved from the wrath to come. You know, find you a verse to stand on. And that's comfort to me, knowing I'm not going to go through that terrible tribulation. That's tribulations enough in my life. But look, nothing like that's going to happen. You know, that's going to be a bad day. Verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. Out of one of them, it refers to out of who? Who are they coming out of?
Greece.
No, not Greece.
Media-Persia.
Not Media Persia. Who got it after Alexandria?
Oh, Rome.
Not so much Rome. You got the kingdom, but there's, didn't we just say four notables?
Media Persia.
No, the four guys that took. Four generals got it. So they're coming out of the four division of Greece in verse 8. And that little horn is what you read about in verse 10. Here we go. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifices was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down, and the host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason and by of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it what?
Practice.
And it practiced and what?
Prosperous.
Hey, this guy is going to be out there, he's going to be doing something, and he practiced it, and it's going to prosper. People's going to buy into this. You know, there's a guy in Ezekiel talks about he merchandises. Mm-hmm. Hey, Satan's in the business of selling stuff. Whether it's a ministry, whether it's the Bibles, whether it's Gospels, he's a ministry of selling stuff and convincing people he's right. You think that's going on today?
Absolutely.
You know it is. That little horn, if you got a Scofield Bible, many of these people that puts their own Bible out, by premillennial scholars and premillennial systems, most critics and commentaries calls the man Articulus. You know who I'm talking about? Last name is E-P-I-P-H-A-N-E-S. Epiphanius, if I pronounced that right. I had to look it up. A lot of these words, I got this Bible pronunciation, and I listen to it and listen to it, and I get up here and it don't do no good. You know, I'm sorry. But what is it?
Epiphanies.
Yeah, there you go. Epiphanies.
Never heard of it. The Lord must have given me
that. Look, have you ever heard of his name?
Yeah.
Okay, many of us, yes.
Yeah.
My Bible's got them in here, okay? So look, not the Bible, but the footnotes. Now look. This guy, Articulus, is a Roman who comes in and takes over some of the territory and captures Jerusalem. Okay? He is one that goes in the sanctuary of the temple and offers a pig in the sanctuary. And you know what the swine means to the Israelite, right? What is it? Unclean. And he desecrates the temple. Later on, after all that, guess what happens to the temple?
It's cleansing.
It gets cleansing.
Yeah.
And the Jewish Feast of Lights is a feast that celebrates of the cleansing of the temple. So that's what the Jewish Feast Day of the Lights is. And it was after it was desecrated by this guy. That's a tremendous event in Israel's history. Okay. The little horn in verse 9 through 12 is said to be, this guy. But look down at verse 19 for a minute. There's a couple problems you need to see about this. This is what problem when church, you know who writes church history?
The Catholic Church.
There you go. Church history is written by Roman Catholics, and you're not going to get the truth in this stuff. You're not going to find out that you was here today. In church history. You know that. You're not going to find dispensational truths that we hold to and believe in church history. They don't like that. In fact, they would cut your head off in times past for believing, reading your own Bible. Verse 19. And behold, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Now the angel comes down to Daniel and gives the interpretation of the dream. And what he's going to tell him about, he's going to tell him about a future and the end of the last days. Go to you're in chapter 8, go to verse 20. Verse 20. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors shall come to feel, the king is fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall what?
Stand up.
It says in verse 23, in the what time?
Latter
time. You know, when are the latter times?
Ages to come.
No. No, when is the latter times what Daniel's looking at?
In the fish.
Future.
Tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay? That is the tribulation. And there should be no doubt in your mind about that. And he's talking about the last days, the latter times, the tribulation that's coming. And it's the end of those four kingdoms and the end of indignation in verse 19. Verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to fill, to full, King of fear's countenance and understanding dark sentence stand up. That is the man in verse 9, the little horn. That's still future, guys, what I'm trying to get at. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderful and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. What does that sound like to you? Say it a little louder so people at the radio can hear you. The Antichrist, okay? That sounds just like him. Verse 25. And through his policies, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princesses, but he shall be broken without hand. Who is the prince, yep, capital P, of princesses?
Jesus Christ.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever this man is in verse 23 and 25 is going to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ in the second advent. You see this? Mm-hmm. So if that little horn is going to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ in the second advent, then the little horn is not who? What's that guy's name?
Epiphanes.
Epiphanes, okay? It's not him. And if you're going to say that it is, in the second century B.C. is what they're talking about in verses 11 and 12 concerning the daily sacrifices being taken away. Verse 13 is how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifices and how long the transition is, transgression of the desolation. Then those verses we just read, verses 23 and 25, have no meaning. See how people can just say, history says it's this guy? That isn't all. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Hold your finger there, Daniel. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew chapter 24 is not the catching away. It's not the rapture. It's the tribulation period that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. And he had to say, see what he had to say about this. Verse 15. Verse 9 in that chapter says, "And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Have they done that to you? You know, hey, many of us got Facebook, right? And you ever notice Facebook, there's stuff pops up on there that you might have been thinking about looking at, but it pops up. And here last couple of days, Somalia, and there's Democratic of Congo, they're killing Christians, you know, cutting their heads off right now. And you're like, we don't even suffer that today, man. You think somebody closing a door in your face is you know, something? We have it made here. You know that? We really do. Verse 13, "But he that shall endure until the end, and the same shall be what?" Same. Who's he talking about right now, Matthew? The Jews are the little flock in the tribulation period. They're going to have to endure that end. Verse 14, "And the gospel of the grace of God that shall be preached in all the world."
Kingdom.
The gospel of the what?
Kingdom.
There's a gospel of the kingdom that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is going to preach. It's good news about a kingdom. That's not the same as the grace of God. And it says, "Shall be preached in all the world and the witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." If Paul preached the same gospel... I love to show people this. Hold your finger there and go to Colossians right quick. Colossians chapter 1. I'm here in just a second. Listen, your Bible has no, your Bible don't have contradictions in it. So don't let anybody tell you that. It has contrast. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, what did that verse say in verse 14? "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." You know, they're asking the Lord Jesus Christ, when shall the end come? And they're asking, the 12 are, and they're asking and asked them. And he says, "When the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." Now, he identifies that gospel, does he? "Shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." So when this gospel of the kingdom is preached out there, the end's going to come. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, has a new gospel, gospel of the uncircumcision, gospel of the grace of God, gospel of Christ, gospel of the grace of God, gospel of God. He says in verse 23, "If ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, for the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is at what?
Under
heaven, wherefore I, Paul, was made a minister." My question to you, and you can question to anybody you want to, why ain't the end come? Paul just said that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Then why ain't the end come? Why ain't the tribulation here? Here? Why ain't the Antichrist here?
Different gospel.
It's not the same gospel.
Right.
You with me? And people, I've had people sit right here. Well, I never heard this gospel before. What do you mean, preach to every creature under heaven? I have to believe what Paul says. I have to believe what God says when he wrote it in the stars before there was a written word of God, that he had a redemption story. So everybody in creation has heard the gospel, but you know what's happened to it? Or it has been preached to everything. It's been what? Watered down. Satan has blinded the minds of those that are... You with me? There are people... There's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. You've heard that. You've heard that Peter's your apostle too. You heard you're under the same laws. But the end has not come. So don't let nobody fool you. Go back to Matthew. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of that by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. You think they could understand?
Mm-hmm.
They had the words of God. We can understand if we just make it complicated. Hey, I preach out of the King James Bible. It's sixth grade English. But don't it seem like it's these words I can't understand? You know who's fooling? You're fooling yourself. It's sixth grade English. Now, don't ask me what I was doing when I was in the sixth grade. You know, I can't even tell you how old I was. How old are you when you're in sixth grade these days? 10? Okay, all right. Let me move on. It says, then let them which are be in Judea, what?
Flee
the mountains. Now, tell me something. Did Jesus Christ say the abomination standing in the holy place was past or future?
Future,
isn't it? And he says it was spoken by who? Three times Daniel speaks of these three things. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and Daniel chapter 8, where we're reading. So, the man who does all these things in all three contexts is the Antichrist in the future. So it's future from Daniel. And guess what? What happened to that one guy we was talking about? Where did he come up at? Was it after Jesus or before Jesus? Before, wasn't it? So it's it. And from Lord Jesus Christ, it was future from Daniel. It's future from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ and the angel that interprets the vision to Daniel did not consider that guy, Tychicus, an historical fulfillment of that thing, but rather the little horn indeed. Okay? That's who's going to do it. And the little horn in verse 9, go back to Daniel chapter 8. The little horn in verse 9, Daniel. It's the same back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, when it says, I considered the horns and said, behold, there came up among one of them another little horn. Now, who do you think that was what we looked at? Who's the little horns going to come up among all the other horns? The Antichrist. And the little horn in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9 is the Antichrist. He comes up. He comes with peace, with a peace policy and craft. And Daniel is divided into four kingdoms. Excuse me. Greece, thank you, is divided into four kingdoms. And one is Macedonia and Greece. Two is Asia Minor, modern day Turkey and North. Three is Syria. And four is Egypt. And in Daniel chapter 11, two of these kingdoms are referred to. One of the king of the north and one of the king of the south. The king of the north is identified in Daniel chapter 11 as the Antichrist, and he fights against the king of the south. Notice in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. it says, out of one of them, the little horn came. That messes up a lot of people sometimes. Because everyone is telling you that the Antichrist is going to come out of where?
Europe.
Not only Europe, but
Rome.
Okay? And that messes a lot of people up. You know, a lot of people want to point at, you know, the Pope as the Antichrist. You know, that's a system of religious worship over there that really don't worship the God that we worship. You know, well, I can say they worship God, but when you have to go through an object or somebody to get to God Almighty, there's something wrong with that. You know that? And Daniel chapter 8 says, no, he's coming out of Greece. And that gets everyone confused. You know that guy Aticulus was? He wasn't a Greek. He was a Roman. And he is not going to even match up there, guys. So see how history distorts things? And all that. Chapter 11 picks up the same theme here. Look at the angel talking in Daniel chapter 11. We'll get through this and we'll break. Come back the next hour and a half. Just joking. Look, got cookies. If you didn't eat all them cookies. But anyway, look. Daniel chapter 11 verse 1. Also, I in the first year, was it Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, thou shalt stand up three kings in Persia, and the four shall be richer than they all. And by his strength through the riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Media Persia is in the first two verses 2. Then the mighty king is the little horn in Greece is verse 3. Verse 4. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven. It is not to what? To his prosperity, not according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for other besides those. The he in verse 4 is Alexander Great, we already looked at, and the four winds of heaven refers to the fourfold divisions in Greece. In verse 5, the king of the south is Egypt. Now look at verse 8. And shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, and their princes, and their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Over and over, Egypt is the king of the south, and you have the king of the south being Egypt. They become a great place, didn't they? Verse 6. And in the end of the years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up. And they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. The king of the north is never identified by name in the passage, but if you go down to verse 42, you will see the passage that describes him. Let's get through this right quick. Daniel chapter 11, verse 42. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. You know, a lot of people talks about that. That's Russia coming out of the north and all that stuff. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. This man goes out and fight against up in the territories. And this fella is the king of the north. And there's something still north of him. You think about this for a second. North of him. And the directions also given to the relationship of the land of Palestine. See, that's what that's all about, that land mass over there. And so the king of the south goes down here in Egypt, and the king of the north is up there in Syria, north of Jerusalem. And when we get in chapter 11, you're going to see these two men are going to fight over a piece of ground. And this man hears rumblings about out of the north, which trouble him. And by the way, the man in chapter 11, verse 44, is the Antichrist, and you'll see it when we get to that passage. So think about this one. Who's north of that king of the north? The Antichrist. Who's north of the Satan right now in the heavenlies?
God.
You have God in the third heaven, and you have the first and second heaven. That's where the prince of power of the air is, the Antichrist, or not Antichrist, Satan. And then you have God this world. See that territorial, who's above who? Same way on that land mass over there, when it's all said and done, the north is going to go overrule over the south type of thing, or try to. Jerusalem is in the south, guys, in that land mass over there. But the Antichrist is going to come out of the north. Next week we'll pick up and go back to Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, and you'll see that the Antichrist comes out of one of those four divisions. I know it might have seemed a little dry, But sometime it can be. But any questions or comments? Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us.